Well, if your kid's as dumb as my kid, that makes me feel a little better, but I mean, not really. Because
you've crossed the line that cannot. You shit on my Goosebumps books. You shit on my Animorphs books. That's what you shit on my favorite Ninja Turtles game. That's whatever, man. But when you take a shit on the Crocodile Hunter, you're going too far.
Wait, Corbin, you can't untap.
Oh, boy. I got this, like, the littlest migraine. Just the tiniest little. I feel like if I squeeze my temple. Yep, there. It's gone. But if I let go, it'll hurt again. And you did that to me.
What? No, dude, no. You cannot say anything negative about the Crocodile Hunter. That man loved life.
Hey guys, welcome to Brainstorm Brewery. This is DJ Johnson, the official Brainstorm Brewery host.
Merfolk! Along with
Corbin, the Merfolk player, hostler.
Merfolk, get the GP!
How much is a Merfolk deck worth, Corbin, approximately?
Like 500 bucks, 600 bucks.
That's interesting, because that's a lot less than the Black Lotus I just bought.
Merfolk, your Black Lotus didn't top two the GP. Shout out to Nikachu, shout out to Merfolk, best deck in Modern.
Oh, and then there's this other Jason guy who kind of comes on the podcast sometimes.
What did
I guess
you just shoot
right.
Your what? We had two things to talk about this week, and that's it. And you talked about them in under a minute.
Merfolk!
What are you guys doing?
I'm not done talking about this Lotus.
I'm celebrating the Merfolk, man.
I'm celebrating. Why am I still on this podcast?
Because you want to hear about how Merfolk got second place at the GP.
Yeah, any given Sunday.
I don't think.
How many times has that guy tried to?
I think this is like his second Grand Prix ever.
Oh, no way. He's got a channel.
Yeah.
Dude, his Patreon makes more than ours. There's no way it's his second GP.
That probably just means he doesn't leave the house.
I'm pretty sure he's actually just a normal, nice person named Nikachu, also Jonathan, who top two the GP with Merfolk and is an awesome guy.
You guys touch decks or something?
His deck is foiled out, too. He doesn't have full art mutavaults yet, but I hope he does after this GP win. And by win, I mean second place, but he won in all of our hearts, so that's fine.
I'm so glad he didn't win, because you would be even more insufferable.
I mean, that's fine. I accept second place. That Death Shadows deck is silly. Josh Utter Layton's going to be a Hall of Famer, and he drew the nuts in game three. It happens. Merfolk. Also, DJ bought a Black Lotus. I guess we can talk about that.
Yeah, we could. That's
must be hard to get there with an aggro deck in a tournament where everyone's trying to deal themselves 14 damage.
Merfolk.
Done?
For now.
Guys, if you don't know, a Merfolk deck got second place at the GP. And Corbin's really excited about it because, for whatever reason, he picked a deck arbitrarily because he played with it one time and did okay. And now every time that deck does well, it's like he did well, even though he had nothing to do with it. So that's kind of what's going on right now.
Dude,
and,
we're a family, man, on Reddit, /r/FishMTG. We're a collective.
That's a real thing?
A school, if you will.
Oh, boy. I got this, like, the littlest migraine. Just the tiniest little. I feel like if I squeeze my temple. Yep, there. It's gone. But if I let go, it'll hurt again. And you did that to me. Why
Dude,
are you allowed?
I had a completely different physical condition when Merfolk was in the finals of the GP.
Oh, yeah? The tiniest little condition?
Yep.
If you
the
pinch
absolute
it,
smallest. Pinch it and you lose it. That's how it
if
works.
You pinch it, it's gone.
Jeez. Yep.
Holy smokes, guys.
Speaking of overcompensating, DJ, tell us about this Lotus.
Yeah, so there's this guy. This is the same guy who brought me
the
sapphire.
No. If you start out, there was this guy. That's already too much information. We don't need any of this.
All right.
Just learn to tell a story.
What do you want to know?
just tell me about who sold it to you.
I feel like this is a bait.
might be.
Go on. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to do nothing.
I have no idea what to sell it for. I'll say that much.
All right, so how did you get the Lotus? Is this your first piece of power,
etc.? This is not my first piece of power, if you've been following me on Twitter. It's all come from the same collection, though, which is interesting. It's been an individual, not a guy, but an individual, who has been slowly unloading pieces of power and unlimited stuff from his basement. And this is the person who was able to open up a Game of Thrones book and say, oh, I found a volcanic island that I was using as a bookmark some number of decades ago. So he's been pulling out power out of the woodworks as he wants to pay bills and stuff like that. And he's been cleaning out the basement, and he finally found the Lotus. And then I am basically the only person within a 100-mile radius probably that's willing to just drop everything and meet that person within the next couple days with cash in hand. So, yeah. Buy near-mint black lotuses that are unlimited when offered to you. Because
all right, so let's get the specifics that everyone wants. What did you pay for it? What do you plan on doing with it?
I paid 3,000 cash and 250 in trade.
Well, here's a question. If you're someone selling a black lotus, what do you pick up with your $250 in trade? Do you pick up, is this guy's like, guy, I really need my walking ballistas?
Modern and legacy staples. They're looking to build decks for modern and legacy.
Alright, I guess that so, at least like, makes sense.
Vintage as staples.
As they are getting rid of their power, they're getting cash to pay actual bills, and then they're getting some number of trade along with that in order to basically build a legacy and modern gauntlet.
Interesting. Okay. So you paid $3,000 for it. So for people at home who maybe have dreams of one day being the person to buy this or just own one themselves, I mean, how did you come up with a number for that, and where did you look, and, you know, what's the market like for something like this? It's such high end. I mean, I'll be honest, I don't think I've ever seen one come through my store in Oklahoma City.
Well, I was told it was LP. I was told it was a lightly played Black Lotus, and I'm not an expert in grading power. I'm not a somebody who can tell you what the BGS grade would be off the top of my head with exact decimal points. So, like, if I decided to list this thing on TCG Player, I would place it as lightly played because I don't want to be the person who gets a discrepancy email from some like store owner who buys power on a regular basis saying, like, dude, this is a lightly played Black Lotus. We have a discrepancy of, like, 4 digits here. So that's not something I want to get into. So if I were to list it on TCG Player or eBay, I would probably hedge my bets and say that it is lightly played, or at least like LP plus or near mint minus or something like that, just because I don't want to risk having a discrepancy.
Sure.
So when this person came to me and asked what I was willing to pay, the first place I went was Star City BioWiz just to get a very, very general idea. And it's crazy how different the numbers vary just based on the one condition difference, because SCG buys near-mint lotuses unlimited for $4,000. SCG buys lightly played black lotuses for $2,400.
Yeah, and you better believe that they're going to be real strict about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I tried to, because large name vendors like that, when they sell power on their website, they don't just say, oh, we have 3 unlimited lotuses in stock. They'll scan each one individually and then upload the pictures so you can pick which one you're buying from the website. So they only had one lightly played lotus in stock, and it had some nicks and dings on it that made it worse than the one I'm looking at. And so that one is currently listed at like $4,500 or something like that. So I used Star City as a general baseline, and I really avoided using TCG Player as a general baseline, because if you go on TCG right now and you're like, what's the average price of a Black Lotus? They'll tell you the market price is $3,700, which is really low. That's around the price that a lot of the heavily played ones are on there, some damaged ones. I mean, there's not a whole pile of Lotuses on TCG Player, but like, the market price is generally off for near mint stuff for in terms of power, just because that stuff doesn't sell on TCG Player very often. If you're somebody who wants to buy a Black Lotus, whether it's to finish your Power 9 set, whether it's to play Vintage, whether it's to play Old School, you're not going to go on TCG Player. TCG Player, while it's a great site and it's a really great place to buy certain cards, most cards actually, they don't give you a way to directly communicate with the seller. They don't have, it's not like eBay where you have an option where you can private message the seller, say, hey, can you get me some high-res scans? Can you email me some pictures? There's no real way to contact a seller on TCG Player unless you use the store name and the state they give you for information and then hunt them down on Facebook or email or something like that. So TCG Player is pretty much out of the question. You don't want to buy a Lotus unless you see it first, and TCG Player doesn't really give you that opportunity. So I avoided TCG Player just because Lotuses don't sell on TCG Player. They use the market. The market price is calculated by recent sales, and so there are no recent sales for a Black Lotus. So I used SCG, and I used eBay. And right now, if I look up Black Lotus on eBay and filter out all the random lots and all the random repacks and garbage like that, there's some slightly played ones for $5,400. There's some near mint ones for $6,300, $6,600. And I know from experience walking around on the floor of a GP that I'll probably see them in display cases for $5,000, $5,200, high 40s, that kind of thing. So if I wanted to go to a GP and I needed the money and I needed to offload it immediately, I know that I could probably get around $3,500,
$3,800
for it.
See, my first thought when you told us we paid for it is that you – I honestly thought you might have overpaid some because I'm looking at eBay. I'm looking at sold listings, and I'm seeing them go for 3,000. I'm seeing them go for less than 3,000 in slightly played condition. And yeah, there's some that range up to almost 4,000. But you know, if I'm giving money to some guy who's had a Lotus for 20 years and doesn't have to get a certain number for it, yeah, you know, I feel like you did not necessarily leave a lot of. You know, a lot of meat on the bone for yourself there. And obviously it's a fine price to a good or great price, even if you're planning on keeping it for yourself. But in terms of flipping it, you know, spending $3,000 to make $500, if you can even do that, it felt a little high to me. I mean, so what was your thought process for, you know, coming up with that number? And I mean, do you want to keep it for yourself? Are you going to move it or what?
I haven't really decided whether or not I'm keeping it for myself or not. One of the reasons I do want to keep it for myself is for something some people might know as the Battletoads effect.
Okay.
So
I love me some Battletoads.
If you've ever worked at a video game store or if you've ever been on 4chan before, you know that there's a practical joke where people will call a video game store or pawn shop and ask if they have Battletoads in stock.
Specifically the Pawn Stars pawn shop, most famously.
Yes, probably. That's one of my favorite memes to ever come out of the internet. I won't lie. It's great.
And the reason they ask that is because the store, whether it's GameStop or something like that, they obviously didn't have it. They'd get all confused. They'd be like, well, no, what are you talking about? And then it'd be a funny little joke. And so if you have a decent-sized collection in Magic and you talk to somebody who doesn't play Magic but they know something about Magic or maybe they played 20 years ago, they will jokingly ask you, do you have a Black Lotus, though? And I kind of want to keep it just to say, yeah, I do. You know what? You want to buy it? You want to drop $4,000? Okay, no. No? All right. Yeah. Okay, shut up.
I would love to keep $3,000 tied up and not be able to spend that on collection so I can big dick some dude who doesn't know anything about Magic.
I mean, that only matters. I hear that all the time. An opportunity cost is a thing. But that only matters if there's a collection you can't buy. You know, like.
So, and it's that I say that as a joke. I'm not going to keep it for that reason. If I do keep it, it's to collect a set of the Power 9 one day. I probably won't do that. I'm definitely leaning towards selling it right now. But the reason I was able to offer that number is because I talked around and I have such a wide network already. So when the person messaged me about the Lotus, I immediately started messaging other people on Twitter, on Facebook, just people I know who have the bankroll to buy high-end cards like that, showing them pictures saying, hey, what would you give me for this if I just wanted to be the next person in the assembly line? And I've got offers right now for around $3,500, $3,800, around there. And so if I need to right now, I can unload it for $3,500. If I want to wait a couple weeks for some people to get paychecks, I can get $3,800. That's locking in profit. That's something we've talked about before, where it's just fine to move it along the assembly line, collect that $700 or $800, and just forget about it. That's fine.
Yeah, and you know, it is tying up a lot of money, and like you said, paying I think paying $3,000 to make 500 is not necessarily where you want to be, just in general. But there's a big difference between paying that and having a card that is theoretically quote unquote worth that, and having right. multiple buyers ready for it, you know, where you can quick flip it.
Yeah, it's different. Like a regular old near mint Black Lotus is a lot different than like a foreign foil EDH staple that's a one of and is worth $1,500. That's like a lot harder to move, and you have to find the one person who's willing to pay that for their deck. Like, there's no shortage of Black Lotus collectors right now. There's no shortage of people who want to need a Lotus for vintage or who need one for old school even. Like, it's not a card that's going to be difficult to move if I feel the need to liquidate it.
Yeah, I totally get, and this is a real thing, especially for, you know, and I know DJ's in a situation where he's in an LGS and is trying to get established, but, you know, that you say Jason called it big dicking somebody or whatever, but it's like, not to show them they're wrong, but to sort of add an air of legitimacy to what you're doing, that's a real thing. You know, I have my expensive binder of fancy things, right? And someone came in, closest I've got to having someone walk in and sell me a Lotus, is someone came in and sold me a place at a bazaar, Baghdad's, and yeah, I don't remember whatever. I spent however much on them and bought them, and I was like, well, now I have five because I'd already had one. It's like, I don't see myself playing vintage anytime soon with these, but like, I don't necessarily feel the need to just flip them and make $200 either. So I just keep them in the front of the binder, and people open the binder and they're like, damn. And all of a sudden you just have this, this sort of like respectability, and credibility and legitimacy that goes a long way, you know, and especially obviously as you get, sometimes the line blurs, and I don't know how it is for DJ, but for me, cause I'm a player as well as, you know, running the store, and I'm not the LGS owner. I'm running the singles out of it. So, anything like that, that sort of does add some, credibility and legitimacy that people respect what you're talking about when it comes to prices and things like that, I think matters. So I think that is, having that stuff on hand is just for something for people to look at, even if they obviously don't buy that. They may end up buying something else from you because they're like, gosh, this guy knows what's up. So it's a real thing. Anyway, so that's pretty cool. I hope that somebody cleans out their basement. I just wanted
there to be like an awkward silence.
Oh, that's fine.
We know you did. We know you did.
Sometimes you say something, even though you're Corbin, sometimes you say something that's just unassailable. One of those rare times, so I'll let you have it.
I'll savor the moment. Now, I hope somebody cleans out their basement around here.
Wait, Corbin, you can't untap.
Savor the moment's my pick of the week.
Actually, let's read an email. DJ, I know you have an email queued up from us from a patron.
I do. My
No. Let's not do this, because here's the deal, man. If any patron finds out that we read the emails at the beginning of the cast, why are they going to listen to the whole episode? They're just going to, like, just write us an email, and they're going to listen as much into the episode until we read their email, then they're done.
So they're paying us money every month to podcast because they enjoy listening, and you think they're going to quit.
They are paying us money because they want to hear their email.
Thank God it's physically impossible to time skip to the end of a podcast if they wanted to do that. So they can't abuse the system either way.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Well, how would they know where in the end? They might accidentally skip ahead and hear Corbin talk, and nobody wants that.
Well, that's why we're doing this here in the middle, man. It's not at the beginning. It's not at the end. It's squarely in the
middle
because
we talked about Ninja Turtles games for 45 minutes.
That's an after hours, or possibly coming at the end of the show. We haven't decided yet, but for anybody who has not yet heard it, because I have no idea where our editor will end up putting it, we did have a pretty fun, it was a conversation about collectibles, so it counts. It's finance-ish.
It was a collection about how Corbin doesn't know which Ninja Turtles game in the arcade was the good one.
I contend that Turtles in Time is awesome.
Yeah, you're so wrong, though.
Well, we'll see. People can listen to the After Hours or hear it at the end of the cast, wherever it ends up, but keep an eye out for it.
I'm going to read this email just because I think you guys will appreciate how Brian introduced us.
All right, let's hear it.
The email. So this is from Brian Paulsrud, one of our $10 patrons. He sent this email February 18th. We're getting to it on February 21st. He addresses it, Hi Brew Crew and DJ.
Get wrecked, nerd.
Yeah, I figured you guys would enjoy that. It's something for you to bond over. Here is an email. What price should one look for to go in on Emrakul the Promised End? Secondly, should you be picking up other Eldrazi now or wait for rotation? Thanks, Brian.
Dude, I won't lie. I am all over Eldrazi.
Yup. Especially Displacer. That's my favorite target.
Displacer,
right now.
Smasher, Thought Not Seer. Those are the three. It was from a small set.
Don't be like, I want Eldrazi, Endless One. Don't worry about that.
And they've started to come off their lows. Because I've been watching these very closely because I've just been like, these cards are insane. How are they this cheap? But they've started to come off the lows.
What do you guys think about Reality Smasher?
I mean, I love it at $3.
Yeah, Smasher's legit.
And it's come off of two. They're not even played in Standard.
Yeah.
They're just not even played in Standard. So, like, there's not like you were waiting for the Standard drop off. So,
right.
They're just there. I mean, Smasher 3, Thought Knot is around there, I believe. Matter Reshaper is the fourth one to look at as well. It lacks some of the raw power, but it's still a four of in the same deck. Thought Knot's here is back up to six. Like, they're off their lows. Both Smasher and Thought Knot's here have come up. And let's look at Displacer as well. Because obviously, Displacer has the commander aspect going for it.
So do you guys like Iavugan at $8 or $9 too? Even though it's banned in Modern, it's just because of its vintage and legacy appeal?
No.
Not
really. But
I mean, we could be wrong, but like if you're buying it to play with,
I want it for Modern.
Spec, if you're buying it to play with, like I don't think you air, because you're not going to make that much Ugin. Money.
Yeah. I have Ugin. You're making me look at the graph now. This thing peaked out over $40. It's currently $9. And trending down.
I like Eldrazi Temple more than I.
Oh, yeah.
Eldrazi Temple at 6 seems
pretty
good.
You like Eldrazi Temple more than you like what?
Shut up.
So if you all had to pick one Eldrazi to go deep on out of those three that you initially picked, what is it?
Thought Knot's here.
Displacer.
Thought Not Seer from the Modern player, Displacer from the Commander player?
Well, the thing with Displacer is it has a higher reprint risk than Thought Not Seer.
Don't see how it's...
Can go into a Commander deck.
Maybe.
Pretty easily. All right, how about Matter Reshaper?
I don't like Matter Reshaper.
Matter Reshaper is cheaper than any of them. It's a four of in all the same in the same deck, though.
Is it?
I'll be honest, I don't know exactly what the legacy list looks like, but in Banta Eldrazi and Modern, you know, it's Displacer, Thought Not Seer, Smasher, and Reshaper are all four ofs.
All right.
And it's the cheapest of the bunch. Thought Not Seer has a much higher buy-in. Honestly, Smasher at three might be the best buy of all of them.
So what about the Promised End as the second part to this question? What price should one look for to go in on Emrakul the Promised End?
All right, so let's see. It's currently what, like $8?
I think so, 7 or 8.
Yeah, so the mid is 10. It's still falling, though. Gosh, you can actually buy them for like $7 on TCG Player, and there's a bunch of them.
I bet I see that's 8. Not even the bottom.
Yeah,
honestly,
I agree.
I think you just watch it. You wait until the price rebounds. You don't want to catch a falling knife, right? So you're going to pay a little bit more than the absolute bottom price by waiting. But what you're going to do is you're going to establish the bottom by waiting. So someone's going to get lucky and pay less than you, whatever. What you're going to do is you're going to watch and see the price rebound. And when it looks like it's done falling, I think that's when you buy in. I don't know rotation's going to do this time around, because it's like Standard really isn't even affecting the price that much, especially in
Emrakul. It already rotated.
Yeah, basically. So,
I think Promised End is going down.
The reason rotation affects a banned card is because people are just going to get around to thinking about those cards at rotation. For whatever reason, they just sit in binders, and price memory keeps them where they are. The stores really aren't selling them at $4 or whatever, but they're not inclined to fire sale them.
Yeah.
Just because why move the price on them? Because
once every 2 months an EDH player comes in and buys it at that price, so it's fine.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's fine just sitting there, and then they'll just, like, try to fire sale them when everybody else fire sells everything. You sometimes just hold a bunch of cards, and a lot of times they go back up, so whatever.
Buying Promise Sins at three or four, and I've been buying copters at, like, three. Here's the thing.
You've been buying copters at three?
Yeah.
That's aggressive. There's copies now on TCG Player for like three.
Yeah.
Well, wait.
That's aggressive.
Oh yeah, you're right. Well, I was buying them at three. The last set I bought at two. But yeah, they were probably like $6 or $7 when I bought them at three. And I'm talking trade at my store, not cash for what it's worth.
How does that falling knife feel on your fingers, Corbin?
It's fine. I sold them for my Frontier event.
Oh, okay.
but this brings me to my point. Emrakul is not done falling. Neither is Copter, but let's focus on Emrakul. Emrakul is not done falling. It's going to go way down. It's going to at least hit five, maybe a little more. And I think it has a slow, very slow rise over time effect due to Commander after that. But I think the more relevant thing for Emrakul and possibly Copter as well, and maybe those Eldrazi, but probably not because they wouldn't have Temple in this scenario. Even if you don't think Frontier is going anywhere, and I don't know that it is, turnout at the Frontier event I hosted at my store last week was lower than hoped for. Not terrible, but lower than hoped for. So
I asked you how it was, and you made a fart noise, so...
We were competing against a PPTQ the same weekend, but we sold a bunch of cards for it, so I guess it did its job, right? I mean, that is the point of the format, is it not?
Yeah, Frontier just eats all the garbage.
I mean, it made all these dig through times spike, and
yeah,
then we sold
a bunch
them,
of banned
so
cards and a bunch of rotating cards. So yeah, go pay $4 for a Siege Rhino to play. I hope you do.
Siege Rhino's like $1. Dig through time's like $3.
Okay, good. I was gonna.
Hangerback's like $6. But the actual point here is that whether you think it'll be Frontier, whether you think Frontier's a thing, whatever, Wizards, being Mark Rosewater, has come out and said that they do eventually want a format that exists in between Modern and Standard. Because of just how old it is at this point, right? And that's when you could see the big movement on Emrakul 3-4 years from now, right? Say 2 years from now, they announce this format, call it whatever you want to call it. They decide we're going to start at Origins, and that's our format. Well, now Emrakul looks like a sweet finisher, and that's when you see a card that by that point will have come off its low of $4 or $5 and is back up to $6, and it's just kind of there. And then, some number of years in the future, that format happens. It just gets bought out. It's $20 on a weekend again, That's exactly what you're looking at there. The card's going to continue to fall. It's going to bottom out. It's not there yet. Honestly, it may still have a ways to go even. But then it'll slowly climb with some potential for an actual hard spike in the future.
Yeah.
So hopefully that answers your question pretty fully. I'm all about picking up those Eldrazi, including Emrakul. The other three, four, the Oath ones are at their bottom. But Emrakul is not there yet.
I feel like if you can do it affordably, buying banned cards is sometimes, I don't know.
Sooner or later, these Punishing Fires
ban,
or Blood Braids will pay off.
Played. Yeah, exactly. If it's good enough to get banned, it's good enough to get played in something else.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I imagine DJ has quite a few Punishing Fires set back.
I have hundreds.
I have several hundred of that card.
Yeah, every time one comes through, throwing this one in the box.
Well, and I bought them because I really thought it would impact Legacy, or it would pick up in Legacy, because it was the best deck for a while, Punishing Jund.
Yeah, and it was then, for a minute.
Legacy got some. I got a bunch of Boom Busts, too, because Boom Bust Naya was super good in Modern, and then they're like, nah, we're going to ban Blood Braid, so I've eaten it. on specs a few times only to have them later pay off. So sometimes it feels bad, but like if you just hold on to stuff, man, anything good enough to ban is good enough to get played later, or an unban could make it like you look like a genius all of a sudden. So
yeah, I would have I'd say that Punishing Fire will never get unbanned in Modern because I think it's way too good and leads to repetitive game states. But a lot of the same thing is true about Thopter Sword, and then that did nothing.
So, I mean, yeah, increased graveyard hate can really, like, put a douse on...
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like Modern doesn't already have a bunch of broken lands you have to deal with. Is Grove of the Burn Willows really that different than Tron? Like... So.
You know, what's really funny is anytime people are like, oh, no, you can't unban that, they've been wrong every single time.
I mean, I'd still
Everything
say you can't unban
you can't
Jace.
Unban. Yeah. Really?
I'd still
Why?
Say you can't unban Punching Fire.
Because you can't unban... Well,
I
mean,
don't think
re-ban...
anyone ever said you can't unban the cattle, but...
They, Bitter Blossom? I guess they re-banned the troll,
Grave
though.
Troll, yeah. Well, that actually makes me have hope for the possibility of them unbanning Jace. You know, I don't think...
Just to try it because they know it's not permanent?
Well, right. I mean, Control is still not doing what they want it to do in Modern. And they keep trying to give it more tools. I mean, they gave it back Ancestral Vision. They gave it back Thopter Sword. None of these things are sort of making it a huge player. There are still good control decks, but it's not what they've... I mean, look at the top 8 of the Grand Prix, which we'll get to. There's not a lot of hardcore control decks in there.
Do we want to talk about the Aaron Forsythe tweet today?
Yeah, that's what I'm referring to. Yeah, go ahead.
So Aaron Forsythe, I should have pulled that up before mentioning it.
I mean, that's what a professional podcaster would do, so...
Yeah. So 3 hours ago, Aaron Forsythe tweeted, "Heard all the unbanned Jace chatter today. We'll talk through it at the next meeting, as always. Hashtag WotC staff."
Yeah. I mean, I don't take that as like an encouraging thing, but the fact that they unbanned Grave Troll and then rebanned it later makes me think that maybe they could unban Jace, and if it does break the format a year from now, reban it.
Yep.
It's got reprinted a few times now. I would have said before, and I think it was true before when it was just the Worldwake printing, if you unbanned Jace, it would have been a $400 card overnight. A few years ago, that would have been the case. And there is 0.000 chance that they would have done that to Modern. Just make a $400 card overnight. Now Jace is down to like $50, which is still horrendously expensive. But if it's something you think you're going to do, maybe you plan it out. You throw it in the Modern Masters 2018, or you put it back in Eternal Masters 2018, whatever's coming out. And you give it a shot next year.
I mean, I think it still goes to like 120 overnight, but I think that flattens back out down to like 93 months after the unban.
People
real quick.
Would be so excited to play with it, whether it ended up being good or not. People would be so excited to play with Jace.
You just want to be the ballsy guy getting them now, really.
Yeah,
I
you
guess
just pick
gonna
them up.
Make out. Yeah.
I mean, I still have a handful. I think I have like 6 or 7 of them in between binders and the store case, but. You know, like I said, I don't think they're going to unban it, but the way that Modern has been going the last year, 2 years, as they've unbanned control cards and it hasn't made control, you know, a kind of deck that can put multiple copies into a top 8 of a Grand Prix, it gets a little more likely every time. Every time a creature gets pushed in power level, Jace looks a little more fair. But, all right, let's talk about the Grand Prix, though. So this was the Grand Prix. Yeah, you know, we have to. And it was sweet. So the Grand Prix in Vancouver, there's also one in Brisbane that didn't have anything too noteworthy.
I'm editing the show notes to give us 5 minutes for this instead of 10.
Okay, good one. Got him. So the top 8 in Grand Prix Vancouver was dominated by the Sam Black et al., his crew, Death Shadow deck. Honestly, it was sort of what you'd expect, except the big innovation, I guess, out of the deck is they don't have as many of the combo pieces, right? It's just they have one Teemer Battle Rage in the main. They're not playing the Become Immense combo the way the decks used to be all in on it. It's basically just a Jund deck that also is a Death Shadow deck. And it was very good, and it put three copies into the top four of the entire Grand Prix, and the other person, I think, top 16 or something. And they're also playing Traverse the Ovenwald.
Corbin, what was the other deck in the top four?
It was Merfolk, who beat Sam Black. So, also worth noting, Obzon Company in the top eight as well, with Renegade Ralliers and Archangel of Thune combo. That was a pretty sweet list. Mono White Eldrazi and Taxes, so basically just Death and Taxes. Main decking Thought Knotseers, which is interesting, and Shining Shoals. So that's
Shoal is very good.
It's kind of nutty.
That's how you win games.
No kidding.
I've won a lot of games of Magic with Shining Shoal, just because I used to char people and then like zing them for six to win the game with Shining Shoal.
Yep.
And if I had main deck Wrath of God in that deck, and if it was a dead card, I would just Shoal him for four.
Yeah, so those are good times. Shoal is sweet. Yeah, I mean, this deck's actually pretty cool. It, unlike some of the other taxes lists, it didn't play Aether Vial. It's just Selfless Spirit, Thalia's, Leonin Arbiters, Blade Splicers, Thought Knotseers, Displacers.
I love how good Blade Splicer is just hanging out.
Yeah, Resto Angels.
That's so good.
This deck was just sweet. Affinity, more Death Shadow, Naya Burn, although it didn't actually play the Nikotl, so it's kind of just Burn. That was an interesting top eight, that's for sure, but like you said, no control in there.
Can Death Shadow go anywhere? Like, who gives
a shit?
Well,
it already jumped again
Jace the Mind
already.
Sculptor, if you got a 13 power 1 drop running around, like, what's Mind Sculptor gonna do? I'll bounce it. I'll replay it for a mana. Go. Oh. Like, I don't know, man. Well, I'm at 7 life because I got attacked once already. I'll play a Jace. I'll tap L for Jace. Bolt swing? Oh. This is too good. You got to ban it. Really? Modern looks the way Modern looks right now, like, I defy somebody to build a deck with Jace in it, that's going to, like, ruin Modern. I defy someone to do it.
I won't say ruin. I'm pretty sure Jace makes any of those sort of Sphinx's Revelation decks that already exist insane, though. Let's not forget how strong that card is.
Annoying. Not insane. It probably makes them annoying.
They're annoying with Nahiri. They're insane with Jace. But that's not necessarily bad, because obviously Death Shadow's pretty insane, too. Merfolk's clearly an insane deck.
Shut up, Corbin.
So the top eight of GP Brisbane, which also happened last week, and had two Dredge decks in it, Lantern Control, which I believe went on to win the event, which is great. More Affinity, White Red Nahiri Control, just the red black or red white four main deck Chalice of the Voids, four Blood Moons Prison deck. Living End, back from the dead, playing one Kari Zev's Expertise.
Hey Corbin, stop reminding us of Jason's dead grandpa.
Yeah,
okay. That's not okay.
My bad. Up. My bad.
Hey,
good
I
point.
Have a prediction. Okay, so this is an event in Australia, right? And you got a lot of these weird control decks. I'm going to predict that six of those names in the top eight are Japanese.
All right, let's see. James Larson Scott, Sam Hume,
he's
Timothy Chang.
Oh,
Tetsu Kawaguchi.
Okay, that's one.
Zen Takahashi.
That's two.
Chris Grimshaw.
Oh,
Oliver
no.
Ox.
Oh, no, what?
Li Shichuan.
Two Chinese-sounding names, two Japanese-sounding names, and a bunch of weird Australian dudes, probably. Huh.
Well, what's interesting about that event...
Mate.
That was really good, DJ. That was...
Too soon, man.
That was a
too
good soon. Japanese accent.
Too Croiky, soon.
Mate! Where can we buy those panties and vending machines?
Stop triggering me. Please stop. It's been too soon. I'm not over it. Please stop.
Why aren't you over?
Dude.
Steve Irwin's death, man.
That man was like my hero. Dude, I watched that funeral when I was a kid. His daughter sitting there crying. It was so sad, man.
He's like, it'll be another 5 years until I can leverage his death for my own.
She's got her own thing going now, and it's great, and I'm happy for them. But, man, I loved Crocodile Hunter.
You would. That's just kind of the dirty white trash kind of show.
You cannot say anything negative about the Crocodile Hunter. That man loved life. He loved wildlife. He was so much fun. He was always happy. He was such a great person, and it came through on his TV show, and that's why people liked it, and you're an asshole for shitting on him.
He's Bam Margera. May he rest in peace. He's Johnny Knoxville with an Australian accent and the same haircut.
That is so offensive.
He was never a crocodile jackass.
He was never in Walking Tall like Johnny Knoxville.
Because he was dead.
He would not play second fiddle to a 2x4 or 4x4, whatever The Rock had in that
movie. He was supposed to be in that movie, actually, but he died, and they had to replace him with Neil McDonough halfway through shooting.
It's messed up, man. You're offending our listeners. I know there's people out there who love Crocodile Hunter.
Good. Write us an email. Maybe we'll read it.
God, I'm sad now.
Here's what you do. If you're mad that I'm insulting the Crocodile Hunter, go to patreon.com/brainstormbrewery. Donate enough money that we'll read your email, and then you can tell me how offended you are. That's what you got to do.
That's $10 a month.
I can't do That's this.
$10 a month, and feel free to cancel.
You've crossed the line that cannot. You shit on my Goosebumps books. You shit on my Animorphs books. That's what you shit on my favorite Ninja Turtles game. That's whatever, man. But when you take a shit on the Crocodile Hunter, you're going too far.
But I like Goosebumps. I was just making fun of you for reading them now.
Whatever, man. It's just.
I used to read Goosebumps as a kid.
That's just like your opinion, man.
Yeah.
Anyways. There were two dredge decks in the top eight.
So we I guess are that... way over the allotted time slot.
Oh, red shut up, nerd. We're only at 45 minutes. Oh, you're saying
he's talking about 5-minute segment? We spent 10 minutes talking about the Crocodile Hunter, and he's like, nope, we're done talking about modern.
That's fair. Let's talk Vancouver. What's going to go up? Anything?
Walking Ballista was in these decks, which is very interesting. It was on a bunch of decks. And Eldrazi Tron seems to be a deck. Four Mattery Shaper.
Eldrazi Tron's absolutely a deck, yeah.
Yeah. Four Thought Knots, four Smashers, three Endbringers, four Walking Ballistas, and a bunch of mana. That's a real thing. Now, here is the card that may be worth talking about. Basilisk Caller is showing up in these decks alongside
It's too late for Basilisk Caller, man. It's too late. All the cheap copies are gone. This is a card you needed to be on a week ago. The second people started suiting up their ballistas.
Oh, you're right, bro. I missed that.
Yep.
Dang. The thing is, I don't actually think it's that great in modern.
But
obviously the price already moved.
Yeah. And people will justify it come EO, you know? They'll be like, oh, well, it gets played in EDH and then blah, blah, blah. So everything that people say about the price isn't true for why it went up, but it is true for justifying why it'll stay up.
Yeah.
If a card goes up by mistake because people are saying stuff about how much it's played in EDH and its rarity, blah, 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 I think all those factors can keep a price high when combined with the power of price memory. And dealers' genuine reluctance to lose money on cards by starting a fire sale. If those factors aren't strong enough to push the card's price up, they are probably strong enough to keep it up. So cards just – their prices get ruined sometimes, you know? Just like – that's kind of what happened with Food Chain. Although Food Chain is sort of proven itself in EDH, but it's not why it went up. Food Chain was a $5 EDH card – until that stupid Griffin deck came along and top-aided some Star City side event. So what are you going to do? Sometimes it happens. So I think Basilisk Caller's price is probably just screwed forever.
It's already worth money,
enough.
So...
Yeah, because it's so good in EDH. Yeah. And I don't think they're nimble enough to get that reprinted in an EDH product anytime soon. So I think it's probably going to be ruined for a while. It's going to be an expensive card,
whether
or not.
You know the real reason Jace isn't going to get in Modern? I'm looking over the top 32 deck list. It's all these freaking Tron decks, man. That's the problem. That's why Jace isn't going to...
You could just brainstorm for your Tron piece?
No, it's because Jace is trashy.
No,
I mean,
Tron just destroys those decks, man. I was talking to Shaheen Sarani about Fatal Push and Control and at Modern, and he was, we were talking about something, and I was like, well, man, at least you got Fatal Push, you can play Esper Control again. He's like, dude, I thought so too, and then my opponent went Urza's Tower, go, and he's like, it doesn't help. I'm like, yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, now, Jace would be something that those decks could use to try to rebound if they were able to counter the first few stuff, but I think Tron holds more stuff down in Modern than anything else. Anyways, that's not, it's just something I'm noticing as I look through the top 32 lists and see so many Tron, you know, in variations of Tron these days, even. But yeah. Also, here's one you'll like. GP Brisbane, top 32. Saheeli Rai copycat combo got 28th place.
Did they know what event they were going to?
Yeah, he's got Spreading Seas in his deck. Confirmed OP. Oh, confirmed so a busted card. You can flick it, flicker it. I only have to
have one deck.
Felidar Guardian, flicker your Spreading Seas. It's so good.
What if that were a format? Your deck had to have 50 cards in common between Modern and Standard. You basically had a sideboard worth of cards. That would be tight. I would play that format.
Anyway, so there's a lot to look at in Modern, and the format seems incredibly diverse. You can call that healthy if you want. But it seemed very, very open last weekend, which inevitably led to people going, why isn't it a Pro Tour format? Without realizing that the reason it looks open is because it isn't a Pro Tour format, but it's neither here nor there. All right, DJ, we're done. You got through it, buddy.
No, we didn't talk about anything that could move as a result of Brisbane.
No.
Well, honestly, I don't know how much new there was. Honestly, some of those Eldrazi might be some of the best pieces, the Oath ones, because there were a lot of those pieces in that top, in those top 32s. Is there anything that stood out to you, Jason?
Yeah, Basilisk Caller, and it's way too late to talk about it.
Yeah.
Now. That was something you just needed to watch coverage. I snagged a couple copies, but it mostly just kind of dried up.
It does seem like land mana denial would be good right now, because there's a bunch of Tron decks. Matt,
add that yawn. Yeah,
there's a bunch of Tron decks, and there's if you watched the top 8, you saw how much Spreading Seas from Nikuchu wrecked the Death Shadows deck. So that's something to keep in mind as well. I'm not saying go buy Spreading Seas or whatever, but strategies that are able to do something similar to that.
Well, pick them.
Well, obviously. Which leads us to Breaking Bulk.
Breaking Bulk time. Breaking Bulk time. Break.
Corbin might actually know this card exists.
Is it a Merfolk?
No, it's not a Merfolk.
But how would he know it exists?
It's a pick. Breaking Bulk. The end.
I got a card that I think Jason will appreciate. It's a Gatecrash Uncommon.
Gatecrash Uncommon.
It's okay. An instant. It's a Gatecrash Uncommon instant.
What color?
That gives it away.
Beckon Apparition.
Nope.
This is.
It's a card Jason probably plays in EDH.
Beckon Apparition's a common.
Let me think.
My bad.
It's uncommon or common?
Uncommon.
Gulf
if I crack? Give you the if I give you the color, it gives it away.
Simic Charm.
Yep, there you go. What? Do you not play it?
No, it's just I got it in two guesses.
Yeah. It's surprisingly expensive. I know a lot of people who pick Boros Charm's the obvious one, and then
Boros Charm Simic was like Charm $5 for a while.
Simic Charm is pretty good. I mean, it's quarters stupid. Right now. I've seen it on buy list for 50 cents on a good day. I've never actually been able to buy list it for that, but I've seen it that somebody's wanted like 15 or 20 copies at 50 cents, and that card is really good. You don't use the giant growth effect a whole lot. You can finish somebody off with commander damage with it, but, like, giving everything hexproof is dumb.
Permanence. You control gain hexproof.
Yeah. Oh, Wasteland your Gaia's Cradle. No thanks. Like, I don't... Card's stupid.
You don't even have to target anything. So you can protect your stuff that already has Shroud. Give it double Shroud. Give it Shroud and hexproof. How good is that?
Very good.
Yeah.
And then it's just Boomerang on top of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Simic Charm is a card I absolutely play. Very astute. So, yeah, you're correct. If you told me the colors, you'd have been like, it's blue and gray Simic Charm.
All right, I'll jump in. I've got Scars of Mirrodin for you. And let's see. It's not one of the obvious ones you'd think of, like Twisted Image or Ichor Mirror or whatever, right? It is a red common.
Assault Strobe.
It is Assault Strobe.
Oh.
Is Rebirth worth money?
I don't know. That's just the first red common.
Oh, no, Rebirth is like 15 cents or whatever. No, yeah. It's Assault Strobe. This was one of Ryan's stupid favorite cards back in that standard. But it's 50 cents. And that is pretty much what you look for at your Breaking Bolt pick. It's just kind of cool. One red, give your creature double strike, using a lot of stuff. But for those who don't know, Scars of Mirrodin is actually really insane value right now.
One,
it comes with the tokens, the worm tokens from Wormcoil. You get Exsanguinates, obviously Memnites. But also, like, Grasp of Darkness is at over a dollar right now because it was the first printing of it, and it's in standard. And it's been climbing a ton because of how good it is in standard. So that's pretty nuts. Twisted Image.
Mirror Galvanizer, Palladium Mirror.
Yep. Necropede, Blight Mamba.
Yep. Grafted Glistener Elf and Blighted Agent. Glistener Elf and Blighted Agent.
Cool,
Blighted Agent.
No, those are Nephyrexia. But yeah, I mean, there's just a bunch of really good commons. And not just uncommons, right? Like Grasp, Ipperclaw Mirror, Galvanic Blast, Necropede, Blight Mamba, Assault Strobe. Those are all 40 cents and above. So like solid quarters on buy lists some days to more even at common in the set. So Scars of Mirrodin is actually a really, really nice set right now.
Even some of those rares are starting to tick up, especially the artifact-based ones with Brea nonsense running around.
Conveniently has a $60 Mox Opal in it, too, plus $20 Platinum Empyrean, which is, it's a lot in the set. It's got fast lands, it's got swords, it's got the $10 Contagion Engines now.
Contagion?
What?
Contagion Engines.
You said Contagion, dog.
I would never do that.
We have a recording.
You're the scourge of my existence.
All right, Jason, go ahead.
Okay. Is it cheating if the card's over a dollar at common?
No.
No?
This is a white Rise of the Eldrazi common creature.
Core or the life gain core?
Soul's Attendant.
Oh, yeah.
I pulled a stack of Soul's Attendants. So like, hey, I bet these are a nickel or a dime. Holy hell, $1.50 retail on Soul's Attendant.
Yeah. Some people got to play eight.
Yeah. Or some people got to play two. Well, I mean, you got Suture Priest, you got Soul Warden, you got the green one.
Essence Warden,
yeah.
There's the flip one, too, from Shadows.
Oh, yeah.
Pious
Evangel.
Dude.
Yep.
Yeah. I feel like there's one real recently, too. I mean, Soul's Attendant, whatever, Rise of the Eldrazi packs are money, but, like, this is a $1.50 common. My God.
It's its only printing, too.
So you want to hear something you might not expect, which I've just noticed because of we're browsing MTG stocks going through this segment. I'm looking at the EV of a box of Rise of the Eldrazi. It is nearly identical to the EV of a box of Scars of Mirrodin right now. Imagine saying that a year ago.
That's nutty.
Yeah. That's actually crazy. You would not have expected that.
Well, ROE's got what? Vengevine?
I mean, Imrakul, Kozilek?
Yeah.
Nurkana Revenant, Linvala?
Oh, yeah, Nurkana Revenant. And
like, it's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 cards over $10.
Reading
three
that,
cards
that's not
over
fair,
20.
Man. I'm trying to go off the top of my head. You're just reading
Well,
it,
I told you I was looking at it. Because that's where I'm looking at the box values. No, it's nuts, though.
Yeah, there's even, God, stuff like Training Ground is getting up there.
Yep.
I mean, Training Ground is very, very good. If you didn't, God, that was a quarter card. I remember that.
Yep.
I picked up a playset for $2 in trade from Ray Perez, and he's like, I'm going to regret this. And I was like, probably not.
All right. So let's move on. We're running out of time this week. But we got some Mom and Ket info, which people want to know about. I don't know. Financially relevant. Obviously, there's a lot to it. We saw some packaging for it, et cetera, et cetera. The important thing, though, is that one in every four packs, it comes with a full art land. And these full art lands, unlike your BFZ or your Zendikar or whatever full art lands, they're not just, hey, this is cool land art. They're all bolus lands. They all have the Nicol Bolas horns in the background that seem to be a feature of Amon Kett. And one in four packs will come with a full art land. So they're going to be way more rare than your BFC full arts. What do you guys think about that? Should we care?
I think they're just going to tank the price of... Zendikar full arts were cool, man.
Yeah.
Like, I was paying, like, dimes on those and selling them for, like, 50 cents later. That felt good, man. Then you're getting, like, nickels on the new ones. So, probably give even less of a crap about these. Are some of them going to be foil? Because that'll be good. Foil, bolus, full arts. Like, it's just, like, the cool... Like, the trash ones will be trash, and the cool ones will be, like, dumb chase ones.
Right? Well, the cool thing about this is that there's only five. There's one of each color, and they all have bolus horns. So,
there's not just different arts of...
No, no, it's all one art for each color, which is good, right? Because I actually would have been pretty tilted if they went from original Zendikar, and then we had a five-year break or whatever to new Zendikar, and got full arts again.
Yeah.
Now, 2 years later, if even that, however long it's been, they went back and did full arts again, and it was a full run of them, I would have been kind of annoyed. I have like 5,000 original Zendikar and BFZ full art lands here at home. Just, I don't know, I'll do something with them someday.
Do you put them in the shop at all?
I have like 1,000 sitting in the store, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And in their own boxes.
What do you sell them at?
50 cents each.
Jesus.
I mean.
When do you sell got 1,000 of them?
Yeah.
I mean, not really.
I'd sell
people
them for like
don't.
20 cents a piece, five for a dollar.
The people who want them aren't stressing over the 50 cents or over a quarter on them, you know?
I don't know, man. I think people would rather pay half of the price to, or pay the same price to get twice as many for their decks.
Yeah, but, like, I'm telling you, the people who are like, hey, I really need to buy 10 basics for my commander deck, they're not stressing over whether they spend $2 or $5 or whatever. That's my experience. Once they decide that this is what I want to do, that's what they're going to do, especially when they're right there. But either way, it's not a big enough part of the store for me to really, like, put too much energy into it. But I have a bunch of them here at home, and I don't know, maybe one day if they... Like, there was a minute where original Zendikars were getting you a dollar on them. Maybe the day would come back where I get at least, like, 50 cents on them. I could offload 5,000 of them. But if not, whatever, I have them. They're cool, I suppose. But I think that the new ones, they're going to be more rare. I think that, and because they all have the same style of art and look similar, I actually think the foils of these might hold a pretty decent price because, you know, you can do your deck in the Bolas lands and they're very, they stand out.
Think?
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I think the foils will be good, and even the non-foils I think might be better than your newest
BFC.
Full arts. Yeah,
that's possible. This I mean, people be love better. Bolas,
if
man.
If they're not jamming like big packs of them in the fat packs, because that's what everyone was doing. They were going buying those fat packs. You basically pay retail on the boosters, which is whatever. But then you sell that pack of lands for like $20.
Yeah.
People were doing that for days. It was crazy. And Target's like, oh, we're selling all these fat packs. Great. And then they ordered all the... Because they don't know. So they ordered the same amount on the next set, and then they sat on a billion fat packs. It's got to suck doing acquisitions for those big box stores, not knowing really what the shit you're doing.
I guess. Probably don't really care.
Yeah, they'll just wholesale that stuff later. Target's not going to have to check on
think,
that. They're just going to get rid of it.
Don't think anyone. Don't think anyone who's in charge. Yeah, whoever's in charge of that decision doesn't really. They're not like, ah, this didn't work out. I've messed up, and I feel bad now. Like, they don't care.
No, they're just like, hey, that didn't sell like we thought it would. That's weird. And then they'll just do a line of blow off some girl's boob or whatever, like people that do that job do. I just
like
assume it's a sweet
the acquisition manager at Target, that's what they do in the background.
Yeah, that's probably a... You could dine out on that. Like, you just go to a store or a bar, and some chick's like, what do? You're like, I'm an acquisition manager at Target. I buy card games, and I stalk the greeting cards too, and she'd be like, "Ooh, my place is a block away."
I believe
you drive her there in a sports car, even though it's like a block away.
I believe every part of that story could happen.
Yeah, it probably does. It's probably happening right now. Somewhere.
Happens every day in the life.
Man, I aspire to be a big box store acquisition manager. Don't you think that would be a tight job?
That's Jason's life dreams coming out right here.
Banging broads, stocking shelves. I would wear a pinky ring. That's what I would do. I would have a ring on my pinky so chicks would know that I was an acquisition manager.
Wow. All right. Why don't you give us a pick of the week then?
Pick of the week. Pick of the week. Pick of the week. Time for the pick of the week.
Okay. Which card costs more? Athreos, God of Passage, or Purphoros, God of the Forge?
Purphoros.
Nope. Athreos is 1250. Purphoros is like 8. Purphoros today is incorrect. I don't like it. I think it should be more.
I mean, there were a lot more of them than there were Athreos, so I thought it was a trick question.
No. Purphoros is just a much better... I don't know, dude. Athreos gets played a lot in EDH, too. That's like
Victory
are Purphoros, Erebos, and Athreos.
I mean, I think the important part is that Athreos came out of Journey into Nyx and Purphoros did not.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, they're both. Purphoros, dude. I don't think the reprint risk on Purphoros is all that high. I think some dum-dums were thinking, oh, we're getting Legends and Amonkhet. They're gonna reprint. No.
They're not reprinting the gods, but they are probably even more gods. Which could raise the price on the old gods.
Yeah, it could, because it gets people interested. If you got enough gods for a five-color gods EDH deck, well, watch out, especially if you get a five-color god. You probably couldn't have Devotion or whatever that thing is.
I'd be fine if they brought back Devotion. I really like the gods and the mechanic.
I like Chroma as a mechanic, so like having that spin on it was fine. If you have enough gods for a god deck, that brings them all up. But honestly, like, I just think Purphoros is too good in EDH to be, like, the same price as Erebos and less than Athreos.
Here's my problem with Purphoros that Athreos doesn't have. Purphoros is... When someone plays Purphoros against me, I instantly know what their entire life is about. They're going to play this stupid broken commander on turn 2 or 3... They're going to play a million token spells, and we're all going to die, or we're going to kill them before they do that. But either way, it's not going to be a fun game.
That's their commander, but he's so good in the deck of other, like
sure,
in the 99
sure.
of other decks. So like,
yeah, that's his upper end. That's where he's best. But you can play him other places.
I mean, that's true. I mean, sure. I look
then you're not in
different...
mono red. Like I play Purphoros and I just kill people by casting Prosh.
So, sure, it's just a good card in your Prosh deck.
Yeah,
that's fine. Yeah.
And I mean, Athreos is. I think Athreos' biggest strength is he can play in those stupid, like. What is it? That guy. The guy you sack, you sack like 5 and go get a demon. Why can't it.
Shadowborn Apostle.
Yeah, I'm suck at card names. I think it's all those blows to the head.
Okay.
No, seriously, my daughter, she just likes bashing me in. My
yeah,
head with
what,
her head?
Yeah, that's
does
what
your kid do
kid.
That?
Yes.
Oh, God.
He just
I
likes
it was
to
just...
swing his arms, flail around, be a little shit.
No. I'm not. She doesn't swing her arms. She just hits shit with her head. Does your kid do that, or is my kid
oh,
just really
yeah.
stupid?
No. It's a thing.
Oh. She likes leaning forward and putting her mouth on the bathwater. It's like, oh, look, I can put my mouth on the water. I'm like, Dad's real proud.
Interesting.
My kid that puts his. I'm spending her college money. I'm just whatever.
To get back well, to get back at her.
Yeah, she doesn't need. She's not gonna need it. She's gonna hit something with her head, and then she's like, "Yeah, you know what? I think I want to work at the yarn barn, and then I can. I'll be glad that I spent all the money I was saving on power. Buy me a nice present. She's gonna whack shit with her head. She's not gonna make it. 18 years from now, no way.
That's a good point. I should feel similarly because my kid likes to climb head first off of the bed.
Oh, God.
Just throw himself down on the floor head first, and he's always got to grab his foot, keep him from killing himself.
Well, if your kid's as dumb as my kid, that makes me feel a little better, but, I mean, not really.
It shouldn't. Based on everything you've ever told me about my life, it should not make you feel better.
Yeah, my daughter should not be trying to emulate somebody from your family, I guess is what I'm...
Correct.
I don't know. Perforos at 8, maybe it's all the blows to the head, but I like it. But, yeah, I was saying Athreos is pretty good in those Shadowborn Apostle decks and little bullshit decks like that.
Yeah.
But you got so many, you got so many, like, Grenzo, and you got Shirai, and you got so many decks that do the same kind of thing. It's, I don't know. It just, I'm surprised that Athreos is as much more than Purphoros as it is. And so that makes me think Purphoros is due for a correction.
I don't know.
Should Purphoros and Erebos be the same price? Erebos goes in a lot of decks, and it's a good commander, so I don't know if that's incorrect. I've never seen anybody shit their pants because someone cast an Erebos, but I have seen people like, kill him with fire! In response to a Exactly. Purphoros, so... It's the god of the forge. Good luck killing him with fire, idiot. Anyway, that's my pick. They can't all be gems. go buy a Lab Maniac. They're still under $5. Just buy Lab Maniacs until they're not under $5 anymore. That's my bonus pick of the week. That card
is this your
cheap.
Is this your curtain
call? Well, since Jason started the trend... Yeah. Jason started the trend. I have two as well. And the two that I have, I believe, are both on the verge of absolutely blowing up. First one, Dark Steel Rare. It is currently under $3. It's an artifact. It's a 4-mana artifact that was in a commander set. That happens to be very good in Oloro. Or Loro.
Well, of Lost Dreams?
Correct. Under $3.
That was DJ's pick already, like, a while ago.
When?
It's been long enough.
It's been a long time.
It's been like 2 months.
It's been longer than that.
No, yeah, really?
I don't remember this pick at all.
This was my pick like 4 or 5 months ago, I think. It's been a while.
Well, it was a good pick then.
Be on my side. Yeah, and it hasn't gone up, so
it's
cool.
It was a good pick then. It has gone up if it was 4 months ago.
Yeah, and, like I picked it back in like July when it was like a dollar.
Wow. It hasn't been a dollar.
It was like end of summer. I picked it like when I started coming on this cast, I think. Like either it was like July or August.
Okay, so we're gonna,
if you picked it in July, it's doubled since then, and it's right on the verge. There are very few copies, relatively speaking, on the internet. It's at least about to go from 253 up to 5+.
Because I called that U-shaped graph.
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly where that one's going. Now, here is one that's not a U-shaped graph, but is similarly spiking, and it's a terrible, terrible modern combo deck that is basically the worst version of mana ramp combo you can play, but that doesn't mean that the card isn't about to blow up even further.
Heartbeat of Spring.
Correct. This card is about to break.
I hear all that justification come EO. Everyone's like, you'll get played in EDH. So I'm like, nah, EDH isn't playing this. You look at EDH Rec and, like, it's just not... You can, justify the price staying up, but, like, the EDH is not going to make this card go up. So, like, that's bad, terrible logic, but, like, it's going to end up propping the price up, so...
It's interesting because the mid-price on it isn't yet $5, but the market price is, and usually that's flipped where the mid is higher than the market.
Well, that indicates it's selling out faster than it's getting restocked is what that indicates. I've been on Heartbeat for about a month, and I'm not convinced.
People are buying it, man, and there's not very many of them out there. The graph is very, I mean, it's spiked on the graph, right? It has gone in the past year from it's doubled in the past year, and I think it's on the verge of being $10.
I have a hard time separating what I think is a good card from what I think is a good spec. Because sometimes stuff, like, it's just wrong. It's like werewolves going up after you already know what the werewolf general looks like, you know? And you're like, these cards suck. The decks didn't get better. You're still going to play Rurik Thar. And everyone's like, the werewolves are going to go up. It's obvious. Like, who's buying these cards? Like, who's buying Heartbeat just because it... You know what it is? I bet it's the MTG Finance subreddit. Because they were talking about this card, and everyone's like, the deck's really bad, and they're like, whatever, people are going to buy it. I'm like, you're going to buy it, and I bet that's what's going on.
Maybe not.
Nah, you're probably right. I bet it just becomes a $10 card, though.
Do you want to know a card I like a lot better than Heartbeat of Spring for that exact same deck, Corbin?
What? Mana Flare?
Early Harvest.
Oh, let's yeah. Look. Yeah, Early Harvest is a...
Early Harvest is a bulk rare that I've been setting aside for years. It's 3-mana, untap all target players' basics.
Yeah.
And that's like a core tenet of the combo that you need four of, and it's
gotten how many printings does Early Harvest have?
Four printings.
Yeah. So, good luck.
It's actually come
when,
down.
But what was when the most those, recent? Ninth edition?
When were those like, four printings?
Mirage, 7th, 8th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th.
Oh, that's then, five printings, Corbin.
Mirage, 6th, 7th, 9th. No 8th.
Well, no 8th. All right.
But, I mean, I hear you. It's all come. It's actually come down over the past year, 2 years, 3 years. I'm looking as far back as this chart goes. It's come down.
That's fine. I've been paying dimes on them for the past 3 or 4 years.
I mean, clearly, yeah. That's it's obvious. Obviously, if we buy the bulk rare, it's
yeah. You
I mean,
can't
you're
screw
right.
up yeah. paying 10 cents on a dollar card. You just can't. If you're paying what you're gonna sell them for later, minimum, you could only win.
Yeah, that's obviously fine. I'm just, and it's obviously a good pick because of that, because you're getting them at dimes. But
I also don't think it's a bad buy at like 50 cents, though. I think that if you, like, I think this could go to 3 or 4.
I just have a hard time, unless it's a part of a deck that's about to break out or whatever.
These four printings don't even add up to like a champion.
No, I'm aware.
Printing.
That's not my issue. My issue is just that I'm generally wary of cards that are already trending down and have been steadily over time, because most of the time those just end up dying. Now, obviously, if a deck comes out that breaks it, it's gonna bounce right back up, but I'm much more a fan of those cards that fit the same profile, where something could make them go crazy, but they also have they're not losing money waiting for it, you know?
Yeah, and Early Harvest, like, just EDH players just haven't really gotten on board. They don't really know this is a card. You'd expect a Karametra to play it a lot and Crufix, and just nobody is.
It's interesting because, like, the Mirage printing has dropped from $1 to like 50 cents. The 9th edition printing is still like a little better.
Yeah, but I mean, the 7th edition one has dropped. The 9th edition one has dropped. The 6th edition one is, I mean, they've all dropped. They used to be more than $1. Now none of them are more than 75 cents, and the others are all 50 cents. Like,
you know, I mean, more than Heartbeat of Spring? Regal Behemoth. Why is that 50 cents?
Regal Behemoth. Is that the conspiracy card?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah,
it's
that
the mana
card
flare
is sweet.
That makes you the monarch. What?
Yep.
It's a big dirtle lizard, and then it just gets killed with a Path Exile, and you're like, ha ha, mana ramp.
I like foils more than regulars, but yeah.
Now, what's the foil doing right now? Have you looked?
$6, $6 or $7.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
All right, I'm going to jump through my pick of the weekend so we can get out of here. Guess what reserve list card I bought on TCG? I didn't buy them out or anything. I just bought two copies because they're really cheap. But I bought a blue reserve list card on TCG Player for $10 today.
$10 each?
Yeah.
What's that?
It's from the Urza's block. It gives it away, but...
No, it doesn't.
No, because I don't care about reserve lists.
Hang on. Urza's block. $10?
Yeah.
Not treachery. That treachery is way more than that.
Yeah, it is.
What? Treachery's not $10.
I just bought a couple for $10, and you can find them on TCG Player for like 12 for like played copies.
Wow, that's like a $16 card, I thought.
Yeah, I thought so too, and I bought a couple for $10.
Treachery untaps a lot of land.
Yeah.
So it does.
That's, yeah, your reaction is my reaction, and that's why I put them in my cart and bought them.
Jeez, $10.
Yeah, it spiked super hard to 25, and then it's just down to, like, I don't think people know this card exists. I think there's a lot of commander
players.
Just
a cube thing.
I think there's a lot of commander players who have never read this card.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
Ever.
Wow.
Like, it's just, I bought two of them. And it, like, my total was, like, 20... They were, like, $8 with $3 shipping or something like that.
Can we talk about how I've nailed every single guest tonight, but I couldn't think of the name of Shadowborn Apostle? That's probably a very specific tumor location.
Yeah, you dumb, fam.
Derm's hair.
All right.
So yeah, Treachery is $12. If you need them for EDH, buy them.
Buy them for 12.
Yeah. Just get an MP copy. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, I think the near mint copies are closer to like 14, 15, 16, but like,
still, it was a $25 card for a minute.
Yeah. So like, that's not going anywhere. You're not getting any more of those copies. So if you need them for EDH, buy them. If you don't need them for EDH, buy them anyway, because that card's going to be $20 again.
Jeez. Yeah, I wish my
pick of the week. That's pretty interesting.
Like, hey, go buy $20 cards for 10. Cool. Pay buy less than anything. Let's book pick of the week.
I'm not saying pay buy list. Like, you can buy them on TCG Player right now.
Yeah, I know. That's Treacheries. Crazy. That's crazy. I never even looked. Like, that's. I'm like, Treachery is way out of my price range. I'm just not even about that. That's fun.
Like, the near mint copies are like $18, $19. Played ones, way cheaper. For some reason, like normally the multiplier is different.
Sometimes I bought cards that said damaged, and I was expecting edgeware, and I got it, and there was a dick drawn on it. I was like, damaged? I think that was Card Shark. I think I bought a pernicious deed for $3, and I was like, damaged? How bad could it be? And there was a fucking dick drawn on it. I was like, ah, okay, I guess. The drop-down menu classifications on Card Shark are a little bit limited. It's not like near mint, played, damaged, dick drawn on it in Sharpie.
I bought a damaged Hollow Fountain off TCG Player one time because it was $3. And it came and it looked like it was in perfect condition on the front, but on the back somebody scribbled Tundra with a Sharpie.
Oh.
Wrecked.
You don't even, if they just flipped it over, like, yeah, I'll remember that's a Tundra. What an idiot.
Yeah.
I hate the people that wrote Mox or Lotus on their Lion's Eye Diamonds. It's like, just, it's got zero cost. Just why did you do it? I used an LED for a proxy Lotus back in the day, but I didn't write on it. Because I'm not a savage. I don't know. I definitely proxied a basic land on the back of a Zendikar full art land. I will cop to having done that. And it was the same land that I drew on. It was a forest, and I proxied it as a forest. So we've all done dumb shit, I guess. Keep Sharpie away from your cards, guys.
Great advice. All right, so anything else you guys want to get in here before we jump out?
No,
It's my birthday.
No one cares. What are you, 30? Kill yourself.
29, not old like you.
Boom. You're never going to be old like me.
Get wrecked.
Don't want me in with a non-cast member, first of all.
It's my birthday.
No one cares.
Is it your birthday?
No one would care if it were.
It's my birthday.
You know whose birthday I give a shit about? My daughter, because I have to. And no other birthdays matter. You're 29. Who cares? Go to work, fuckface.
Thought it
was... Farts.
Merfolk!